It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
Hey, welcome back to Wisdom on Replay. Nostra Thomas and Coach Jimmy D. Something different there.
My fourth different name in like 2 weeks.
We're brought to you by Master's Bar and Grill, which is right next door to the station. So if you're looking for good food, good time, that's a good place to go. TJ Perline Asphalt. But I'm going to hand this over to Jimmy because he's got the legendary Niles connection here. And I'm actually interested in hearing that since Niles has not been very legendary lately as far as sports.
Everybody's all really shaking their heads like a bunch of little kids.
As big as school and that. Like, if you took Niles, Howland, and Champion and put them together, you couldn't make a team. I don't know what happened.
Now, Howland, we're not talking about when these guys are there. That's for sure.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, hello, everybody. Wanted to sit and touch base with you. Having some great guests, some old friends of mine. My dear friend Pete Roberto and my sometimes mentor and dear friend Del Gray. Both these guys have been unbelievably supportive of what I do. Former legends in Niles. We're going to talk about how sports used to be and the way it should come back to be. And they're going
and
to give
how
us some,
we can get it back.
Yeah, and how we can get it back to that.
The bench is a great motivator, but nobody seems to sit on the bench anymore.
My greatest stories with these guys is I always go back for a better foundation of what I'm trying to do. Special with Pete and Digger. Del was always part of the Levy Steel program that we had for years. He's an integral part of the business and also a huge supporter when we were playing on national. Pete, his son, great player. Del had son, had a bunch of all kids, good players. And they came through the system. But what mine is to bring some light to what used to be around in a lot of these communities. I know with those guys. You guys go ahead and take a little bit of turn. Tell them the legends you guys worked with and played with in Niles, because that's the way things used to be and they need to get back to. The people in the area need to start coming back and giving back. So I'll let Pete go first. Pete's a great historian, so is Dale.
Yeah, so we played for Pepper DeMont, and he was a legend coach in the area. Everybody knew Pepper. He was in the Orioles farm system in the 50s, I think, played 9 years. They had a guy named Brooks Robinson ahead of him.
He got blocked a little.
But Pepper was, he was intense. You had to have your head screwed on. We used to do, in the wintertime, we would do skull sessions, and he would have a blackboard and go over situations. And he actually taught you the game from a professional level. And you're sitting there as a 14, 15-year-old kid going, wow, I never saw any of this. But Pepper had it down to a science of how to lead off the bases, how to, he used to do the play called nonchalant and go. If you're on second base and nobody on first, ball hit to the shortstop, and you stand there nonchalant, like, and he looks at you, then as soon as he throws, you go. He had all kind of plays. Digger, remember the play Husky Wawa? If we had a guy on third with in two outs and the runner would walk, and Pepper would yell, Husky Wawa, and the runner that walked would go to first and just take off for second. Well, the team would freak out, turn around, throw the ball, and a guy would walk home. So he just knew the game so well.
We used to have this stupid play called bunt, bunt, bunt. Now, what it was supposed to do is our third baseman would yell, oh, it's a bunt! And if you're not paying attention on the base path, you're like, is that, am I bunt? And we used to actually get people picked off when there's no bunt happening. It was our third baseman yelling bunt. The runner, like me, not paying attention, I was good at that. I was like Manny Ramirez on the bases.
Well, Pepper would also know how to show us how to defend that. Like, there is the first
He'd
and third.
He'd teach you both ways.
He would teach you, and it all depend, and it all revolved around the pitcher controlling and cutting the infield in half. And there was ways that he would teach him how to do that. So the throws to the base or home were cut in half. You weren't making 100-foot throws. Yep. You're making 50-foot throws. So, I mean, he was just a great guy. And then when I coached Little League, when my kid was playing, and I caught myself saying the same things Pepper said. It was just like it was ingrained in your head, you know what I mean? So
throwing behind runners and all the little things that they do now that nobody's even given them any instruction. You don't throw the ball behind runners. You don't do these things. That's the difference between winning and losing. But go ahead.
But Digger, you remember what he would drill with, and Pepper would run a practice by himself.
Right.
Right, Digger?
Right. He was
freshman to senior, and you got ground balls, fly balls, infield practice, and everybody hit. And he pitched.
There was
we were done in 2 hours.
There was no fooling around. He ran the practice.
I love that.
Straight on. He didn't take any guff from anybody, but sounds kids like listened. He was.
Looks like you've been hanging around these guys a while.
Listen, I've siphoned more information because you go and find who the best are. Now, Digger's a different leg of the tour, too, because they were in the beginning. For you that aren't familiar, you know, Don Levy founded Levy Steel in the B League, and they were one of the original sponsors. You played for him at one point, didn't you?
Yes.
And he ended up becoming his son-in-law. Pete danced around with them, wow. And there's a whole network of people in Niles that when I took over Levy Steel back in the late '90s, early 2000s, had been around a while. Don's health was up and down. He didn't have as much support system as, you know, he's the only guy in our area, I think, in the country that won the World Series 3 times in NABF.
Yeah, I saw the plaque at Cooperstown.
Yeah, he's actually in the Hall of Fame at Cooperstown. Yeah,
you know, people talk about the great programs, Astro Falcons, what is now Creekside, it's been a bunch of different evolutions. The only two original, well, and when Don passed away, it became, now it's Prospects, but I mean, they were the two, them and Old Man Goldstone.
Yeah, my brother's Goldstone.
Mike Goldstone, right?
Yeah. They were the three heavy hitters.
And Bob Jones, too. Bob Jones was involved with that.
And it's a different world now. We still have some good people up there, but the baseball people. That's what I was lucky.
Who was the guy from Niles that, wait a minute, I even played for him. They called him, who was the coach of the Yankees? I forget his name all of a sudden.
Are you talking about Dr. Skiffy?
No, the guy, the coach of the B-League. My brother played for him. Ryan. Paul Ryan.
Jughead.
Oh, wow. I played for him. He got me on the team. He said, I don't care if you throw helmets and do whatever. Just hit the ball over the fence. That's how I joined.
Niles per capita. You're going
great
back.
Great player. Yes. He was better than Bo, but he had a bad temper.
He had a bad head.
We used to play racquetball with him.
He was a crazy
guy. He's a world-class racquetball player.
I love that
He
guy.
Beat me right-handed and left-handed 15-1. And I says, geez, Jug.
He was amazing
athlete. And hand-eye.
He had a good run there. Like when I was in high school, he was still coaching at Niles, and he had Michael and Jody playing, and he had the Holloways, and he had a pretty decent run for a couple of years.
So, yeah.
But Digger, you go on. I mean, some of the things you've seen over the years between coaches, and then with us and Grandpa and you and the players that came through Levy Steel and everything else. I mean, it's amazing. Half of the park down at Niles should be dead. I mean, the park should be dedicated to Donnie for as much as he donated everything.
Yeah, he was involved for over 30 years. He developed the girls' softball teams back then when it wasn't in vogue, as they say.
Yes.
And he used to run tournaments every weekend. I mean, he lived down that ball field.
I'll go back to one dig that affected me when they'd have the youth leagues. You had mush ball in Niles, and then you had, like in Warren, you had McKinley League, which was machine ball. It was the old pneumatic machine. And the goal of every kid was to play in the 9-year-old tournament under the lights at Pemberton. And the year I turned 9 and I lit it up and I got elected to it, and for whatever, I can't remember, Carmine, something happened at the park and they couldn't have the tournament. Dude, I was crushed because that. I remember going to watch Tanner Reed's kids. Joey was a little older than me. He was a year older playing. And George and I were the same age. And going and watch them guys. And that was such a big deal. And teams came from everywhere to play in that. And he 9 years old, go play in the lights. And that was
big
the only
deal.
Park that had the lights, I think, back then.
That was a big deal to play in the lights.
Oh. And mushball, that was genius. Bob Fungi, who lived right in front of me, his son Brian. And Bob played minor league baseball. And we all three know him. He would take Brian out there because of mushball, because he felt it was better developmentally. He never had Brian playing Warren. He always played in Niles because the quality of baseball was better, and they had mush ball, so they threw right away.
Right, they pitched at 6 years old.
At 6 years old. And for you that don't know what mush ball is, if you've ever seen the training balls that are kind of like a sock, they're soft. You can hit them, you can throw them, you can do whatever. But on contact, they're not going to put a kid in the hospital. And they covered – when they put the water park back there in the park now, I always drive by back there, you know, back in that corner back there, and that was all. The mush ball field was always back there. Mm-hmm.
They did a nice job in Niles re-turfing those fields.
Oh, yes.
I've been on there with my great nieces and, you know, working them out, and the field is – you go out there – even after it rains,
I got to give the mayor credit, Minkiewicz, Steve Minkiewicz.
He did
a real good job.
They I give all them guys,
you know,
kudos.
I want to go back to Pepper for a minute, though.
Yeah.
Pepper also taught you respect.
Yeah. Love the game.
Open doors for women, stuff like, I mean, he taught you how to be a gentleman, too, besides
how to be a man, yeah.
Yes. He was big on that.
He hated to lose.
Oh, and he did hate to lose, yes.
Remember that time
That's a Niles trait back then.
We got beat, and he wouldn't let us on. We were playing at Austintown. We got beat, and he sat on the bus and made us stand outside for an hour because he said, I don't want to be associated with losers. He wouldn't let us on the bus. He did a lot of nutty things.
But like Pete said earlier, we have 9, 10, 11 and 12 graders. He ran the practice by himself, and nobody screwed around. He ran a practice to the T. I mean,
yeah, he knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing, but people used to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. And Tommy always laughs at, and I know you guys have always said that. You know, supposedly when I run them, everybody pays attention. I don't know if they paid attention like that. But
well, yeah, it's... And I was there the other day at Jimmy's place, and me and my son Vinny went in to watch him. And I was surprised.
The buggy whip.
Yeah, the buggy whipper. I was surprised Vinny stayed that long, and he was dying to get in that
mesmerized.
Cage. He wanted. And I says, "Why don't you get in there?" He says, "I'd get in there." He says, "I haven't swung a bat in 10 years." He says, "If there weren't 30, 40 people here, I might jump in."
And the one thing you want to take on about our program and the community of Niles and that is, you look at the kids. Vinny was as good a player. Vinny's in the top 15 players I ever had in that building, and I've in my business. And he could flat out swing it. He got in front of a Red Scout when he was about, no, I'm sorry, the Indians, a guy named Derek Ross when we were out at the mall. And Vinny was in there, and I brought him in basically to see Vinny. He was that kind of player. And he was 15, 16 years old. He's in the cage, and I wasn't there that day. I can't remember. Something came up. I wasn't there. He's hitting with Derek, and that's where the nickname. And you had to know Derek, very educated, went to the University of Michigan, very well spoken. He's in law now. At that time, he was a scout, and that was his nickname for Vinny. He goes, because that kid could buggy whip it a little bit. And I remember Derek called me. We laughed. But like I said, they've seen the evolution of, you know, in Dell's case with his kids. They're all very well. You know, they all played and they all learned from the game. His daughter's a fantastic teacher. His son's, you know, he's got a little bit of athletic in him, but he's doing physical therapy and that. And the things that the game and how we ran it taught him, how they parented him. And that's the difference now, is these kids. I have almost every grandkid in the family at the building.
Probably got about 12 of them.
Yeah, we laugh because I had to go to my buddies that sponsored prospects. And I went to them. And I called them one day when they were all there in a 2-hour span, and I called them down there. I said, "What do you want?" You know, they are busy. I said, "You need to come down and see this. It's important." They walked in, and I said, "You see all those kids right there?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's Donnie's great grandkids."
Yeah, great grandkids.
I go, and that they all evolved. And I had most of the grandkids.
Yep. Yes,
you know, I had most of the grandkids that played, and then I had, you know,
well, Jimmy's must be kids. Doing something right, because everybody says, "Where are you going, Devines? Where are you going, Devines? Where do you go for hitting and field, Devines?" So you must be doing
never,
something.
They never
you must
got,
be doing
no.
something right.
And you'll hear it. Listen, Tommy says it. Carl says it. Digger and Pete have been. They never say Jim's.
No.
It's either if you're associated with me, it's Devines.
Yeah.
If you're friends with me, it's I'm going to Jimmy's.
Yeah.
I'm going over to Jimmy's.
That's a good point.
In the sociology over the years that. You know, we were the ones that's who you go to see. And, you know, kids that, we had parents that, you know, we competed against, and the parents didn't necessarily like us as competitors, but they would send their kids to us.
I think you were ahead of your time, though, too, a little bit with your facilities.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. If I don't have you, if I didn't have Grandpa, if Grandpa didn't know me from a rock, and I walked to him and say, I have an idea to help you. And he looked at me and goes, okay, go. Now, did we have some interesting times? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Grandpa, you, with Don Levy, you were going to have that. But the funny thing was, he could yell and say whatever he wanted to me, at me. But the minute I'd walk away and somebody'd say something about, oh, they aren't that good, or he's da-da-da-da, man, he'd go absolutely bananas on them. And I would hear the stories later, you know, all the time.
But I want to say a story about Don Levy.
Oh, Grandpa. Here we go. These are the best.
No, I mean, he was, you know, he knew where you stood with him. But
cantankerous. Yes.
When I was going into Pony League and my father was sick, we have any money, and I had a glove that had holes in him. It actually had a hole in the pocket. And Mr. Levy says, come here, get in the car. Drove me to Mickey's and said, pick out a glove because you're not playing with that.
Tommy, how about Mickey's?
Yeah. And then
the smell of walking. Listen, if anybody ever experienced that, Mickey's is down in downtown Warren.
Yes.
It's now some, it's a governmental space down there.
Yeah, it's something like that.
It's down by the old Burger King off the courthouse. My childhood memory, some of the greatest, was my parents taking me to Mickey's every Saturday. And I would not go upstairs where all the Army-Navy stuff was. You went downstairs to where the gloves. You hit the steps and you could smell the leather of the gloves.
Yeah, you could.
And I would make my parents. My dad bought me when I was 12. He bought me a Major League Baseball glove from there. I bet you I spent 3 years going down there looking at that glove, putting it on my hand, Then one day at Christmas, I came downstairs. I tore open this box.
Wow.
And I had that glove till I was 16, and it got stolen.
Oh. So did mine, Nakona. That's what I got.
I remember that.
These kids don't have those memories of places like that.
No.
Walking into Mickey's, and I see the guy that used to own Mickey's from time to time, because he's got a lot to do with the amphitheater.
Not any much anymore,
But you'd walk in, I'd see, and I'd go, is there any way you could just buy like a room full of gloves and just leave them somewhere so we could walk in there and
just
reenact?
Smell them.
Oh, my gosh. The best. It was the best. You'd walk down, you'd smell, and it's part of your childhood.
Yes, yes.
It's like popcorn at Hills. It's part of your childhood. You just
I couldn't believe when he took me down there, says, pick one out, and he bought it for me. I come home with this new glove, and my dad goes, where did you get this? I said, Mr. Levy bought it for me. He goes, oh, man. Couldn't believe it. But that was Mr. Levy, though. You hear all these stories where he was, you know, hollering and arguing, but deep down inside, he was a softie.
Seriously, he'd holler at you 1 minute, and 2 minutes later, hey, you want to go get something to eat?
Yeah.
That's the way he was. That was what he used to do.
Kids are so daggone sensitive now.
Right.
You can't yell anything at them. They fall apart and
quit. You're right.
And they all want to start. They don't want to put the time in.
I'll never forget. Sit on the bench. We're playing in Alliance. It was a hot stove tournament. I'm playing shortstop. We had a great pickoff. There's a million people plus kids waiting to play. You know how that works.
Oh yeah.
And the kid, I had it. The ball. He kicked it out of my glove, and I lost the ball, and he was safe. And my coach yelled out, Tommy, you okay? Did you get hurt? I said, yeah, I'm trying to get some sympathy. You ought to be hurt. Catch the damn ball. Now, think about somebody doing that now.
Yeah.
And that was my dad's friend. My dad said, yeah, catch the ball.
Yeah.
Well, in the level of athletes, like you were saying with Pepper, and then, you know, Donnie had, I mean, we had a run there where we had, you know, when I first took over, you had 60 kids drafted, and out of those kids drafted, I think, four or five got to the big leagues. But, we, you know, back Marcus Merrick, who was an all-pro football player.
Oh, yeah.
They had, you know.
Kozar played for him, too, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember
He was on the winning NABF championship team.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Bernie played on
Kozar,
that.
I told you that. I told you the day Kozar could play. He played for Don.
I tell you a Kozar story. He probably remembers it. Well, Bernie pitched the first game, and he won. They won. So they went to the championship game. And it was like the fifth inning. And the pitcher, I don't remember his name, was given, my arm hurts a little bit. Name? So Bernie called timeout. Bernie was playing third base. He came in. He says, just give me the damn ball. I'll finish the
game.
So he pitched the last two innings. They won the championship, and that was the end of that.
And he intentionally would not go because Don let him go to football.
Right.
The Astros, because Bernie Kosar was a great baseball player.
Yes,
great
he was.
And his
yes,
brother, I played with his younger brother, and he was a good baseball player.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
You remember Brian?
Yeah.
That year we were playing in the tournament, and he was playing. He was the year when we had Sattler and all them. Danny had him come down, but then he couldn't make it. He showed up, but he didn't play. And you, I remember you asking me, you go, who is that? And then you saw Bernie get out. It was after they won the national championship. Bernie gets out of the car. He goes, where's my brother? I said, you know what? I said, something came up. He just left. But you get onto that. The level of athletes in our neck of the woods. You said when we were coming in, Ed Stroud, which, I mean, ridiculous. I mean, played for Ted Williams. A name, you know, and he's had grandkids all through Warren Sports.
Remember TC? I played with TC, yep. Isn't that his son?
Bill White.
Bill White.
Yeah.
Bill White, yeah, the president of National. Yeah. National American, national. He was president of National League at one time.
Yes, he was.
His name was on the balls.
He was, yes. He was a president of
an announcer for the Yankees. He was in the booth with Rizzuto.
When I went to hire my freshman year, he had this stolen base record, and I broke it. And then, I don't know, I think you might know him. I don't know if you're a guy named John Gaffey. He worked down at the courthouse for years. He's a Warren guy. Lived over on Genesee. And we were up at the Knights of Columbus in Warren. I was with my dad. And John was just a good old dude. He calls me over to this room. He goes, hey, he goes, I want you to meet somebody. And it was Bill White. Yeah. And he goes, I heard you're the young man that broke my stolen base record at Hiram. Because he went to Hiram. Yeah. And I was like, I couldn't even speak.
I didn't know he went to Hiram.
Yep, he went to Hiram and got signed out of that and went to the big leagues.
But we're talking about our baseball team. And do you remember our team? In left field, we had Rusty Rosenberger.
Yes.
Professional
boxer. Right. We had Donald in center. Digger was in right. Digger played.
You had three guys that could move.
Digger played second and right field, but Digger ended up going to Teal playing defensive back. I was at third. We had Ralph McCauley at short. Mm-hmm. Ralph went to Dayton. Jeff Holloway was pitcher first base. Jeff pitched at the Naval Academy. Coached at the Naval Academy.
Jimmy Holloway was right field.
Jimmy Holloway.
And I went to second base.
And you had John DePasquale catching, and John played out in Mesa. So, I mean, we had some guys that can play.
Right. Now, when you guys in high school, did you have Pepper? Who'd you have?
I had Pepper as my sophomore year, and then we had Reinfuss junior and senior year.
And there's another guy that gets the generation, you know, Dickie Reinfuss. I mean, he played at Michigan for gosh sake.
He was an All-American.
All-American at Michigan, played for the Redskins.
Do you remember where the old baseball field was in Niles behind the football stands?
Yep, behind the school.
You remember left field, they had the trees?
Yep.
Dickie was to put us all out on defense and have someone pitch to him, and he would just smoke balls into the trees. I mean, I'm talking 390, 400 feet. And I'm down there at third base. He hit me in a foot with a line drive one day.
Thought you were dead.
Oh, my God. He hit the ball so hard. He had to
turn around and hit left-handed, too. Remember?
He was an unbelievable, freakish athlete.
His son went to high school with me. Tommy and I both knew him.
Yeah.
He was stuck behind the legendary Jimmy Coates for a couple years. And when Jimmy graduated, he was Trumbull County Player of the Year. Then he walked on at West Virginia. And made
really?
It. Yeah. And then he went from West Virginia. He played at Akron for a few years, and he passed away about 10 or 12 years ago.
That Hovolchik was a great football player too.
Just so many great athletes, and I always use Niles as that example.
Well, I'll tell you another one from Niles who went to Kennedy was Frank Bonner.
Yeah,
oh,
Frank could play.
Frank Bonner was the best baseball player I ever played with.
He glided in the outfield.
We were in a tournament in East Liverpool. He was 16. I was 15. And he hit two home runs. He hit one dead. This is with Wood, dead center, and he hit one left center. After the game, all the scouts, the Cardinals, the Pirates, they're all after him. Now he's telling me he wants to go play football. These scouts came to one of our practices, and Frank's batting. We're going live. Frank wouldn't put a helmet on. He got hit in the ear, and he goes down. He gets up. We're pouring water on it. Jams his helmet on, and he rifles five or six balls into the weeds. And the scouts are like, who is this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he went to Notre Dame.
As a center fielder, he used to glide out there.
He was effortless. He was the AA back of the year that year in the state of Ohio. Went to Notre Dame, punted, but he got a banking degree. He was on the national championship team.
But how many kids from that world? how many kids your generation, my generation, went, were great athletes, had the grades, got scholarships, and then turned into having great lives. Like, you look at, you know, you look at Jimmy Coates. I mean, plays at Penn State. And he was a better, I'll talk to him, but he's a better baseball player than he was a football player. But he gave up baseball for, he was in ninth or 10th grade, and Alabama was on him. And he always looks at me. He didn't know I knew that one day. And I saw him, his wife and I graduated together, and we were at our, you know, our class reunion. And him and I were sitting there talking. And
he won a national championship with Penn State. That was a wide receiver.
How much of that stuff
would warrant people? I thought he was a kick returner, wasn't he?
He was. But he's also was a wide receiver.
His last 2 years, they let him. I remember.
They put him as a slot receiver.
Right.
Hey, we're down to 5 minutes, guys, so we got to start wrapping this up.
Best athlete you saw? Niles Warren during your generation.
It was Frank.
Yours. Give me a different one.
Frank Bonner.
Give me a Levy one. That we saw. Give me a Levy. Not necessarily my players, but
your players. The pressure's on.
Who would you say?
Well, he went to Champion.
No.
And he was All-State in football, basketball, and baseball. Ended up playing for the Yankees. And I golfed with him occasionally.
Turner.
No, Darren Chapin.
I played with him.
That's Darren Chapin. Yeah,
he played behind me. He was
Is my that right?
Yeah. Oh. I tease him all the time. I was pitching in the final. It was 10 innings. I pitched 10 innings. I said, Mr. Thorne, I'm done. And he goes, oh, come on, you can't make one more. And that was when Darren was a
young kid.
I was a freshman. I was a senior. He goes, oh, F, I got to put Darren in. So I never, ever stopped teasing
him.
He blew the. I had hit a 3-run homer to win the game after he blew the lead we had.
Darren. My thing on Chapin was when I was
good
a
junior.
We were
friend.
Both juniors. And Joey Smaltz, who played at Kennedy, mm-hmm. great running back, great baseball player. Him and Chapin went nose to nose, and
we
Chapin could chuck.
Years
so
after
could Joe.
Too.
Yeah, I
he threw
them.
A no hitter.
Lately?
No, not lately.
Chapin threw a no hitter. Joe threw a one hitter. They beat us 1-0 in the district. And we weren't that great, but he was flat out nasty. Then years later, he
disappears.
You know, he's in the big leagues.
Well, can I give you another?
One more.
Ricky,
no, we'll speak
one of my favorite. I thought was one of the best athletes, Ricky Gales.
Mm-hmm.
He could football, remember baseball.
Well, he could throw.
He could do a pitcher. Ricky Gales.
We're obviously going to have these two back.
Yeah,
because we can get into a half hour doesn't even do justice to the amount of stuff
we could do
say.
Darren stories all day long.
Right.
I went to a game one time. He came up to the stands.
Mm-hmm.
He just walked a couple feet. He was actually playing for the Yankees. I go, you're not going to stay up here walking people. He goes, thanks for coming, Tom, for that inspiration.
And this guy pitching the big leagues, and Tom is busting his chops.
Can I give one quick story with Chapin?
Fire, go.
When
go.
He got up, he got called up in September, and Thurman Munson was the catcher. He doesn't like to tell too many stories.
He is not a big-time social.
They went out to the mound, and he asked Thurman, what are the signs? He says, hey, rookie, this. He puts up one finger. Just throw me damn fastballs and get back out there. And that was it. He's Munson. That's what Thurman Munson told him.
One.
Well, that's all you're going to throw is fastballs. Now get back out there.
He played for Buck Showalter.
And he pitched downtown on my team. I got him out to play. Yeah, we're going to have to do this.
Yes,
because he was warming up his arm. I go, you don't see this other team thinking they're beating a major league pitcher? I'd like to bat against you right now. But hey, we got to wrap this up. But right.
Carl, your question of the day. Are we doing that quick?
We'll have
to double it up next week.
I got to get my super picks in. I'm 8-2-1, and I'm going to go with the Raiders +8. Denver can't beat me by 8. And the Bills -5. And I want to thank you guys.
Thank you.
For coming here and spending time. And I really appreciate it.
I have about 2,000 more stories.
Yeah, so.
Between all of us.
We got a lot more stories.
Tanner Scott stories.
You want to thank anybody there, Jimmy? We're done here.
Hey, all our sponsors. You know, obviously, Levy Steel is a part of that. Sherry Gordon, who just got on board.
Masters, next door.
Yep. Gatta Trucking, Masters. You know, there's a zillion, and like I said, we're going to be putting them on the website. Where we're going to be putting them on all the social media.
Yeah, and get hold of us.
I would tell anybody. Lessons, let us know. We're going to start putting some stuff online, some unbelievable deals. There's sponsorships available. Don't let money be the reason you don't come.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
We'll get it all worked out. Tom and I've had a hectic week, that's for sure. We didn't get on the Tom.
I didn't.
We didn't get on the Tom and Jim show. We didn't have time.
My appliance problems.
So, hey, we want to thank
Carl.
And again. our awesome partner in this, Mr. Carl Bloom. Obviously, we silenced him today. We will pay for that later.
All right. He just gave us a sign. It wasn't a good one.
Thanks, everybody. We'll
talk to you soon. Thanks, Tommy. Thank you. Carl, thank you for having us. Yes.